Greetings and welcome back to Vayikra, the podcast project in which we examine a different aspect of the parasha, Sefer Vayikra, that we're reading that week. We are looking right now at Parshat Tzav, and particularly in the last podcast I raised some questions about the Torah HaChatat, the way that the Chatat is presented. And I asked questions about why the Chatat is distinct from the Asham. Why is the, has the Chatat got the severity that its contact with it renders the item of equal sanctity? And why the place of the Chatat is presented, the Shechitat HaChatat, is not presented on its own terms, but rather as being slaughtered in the same place as the Olah, and then why the law of the Chataot Primiot is presented at the end here. I'd like to suggest that when we look at the Chatat, we have to go back again to Parshat Vayikra, where all of the fundamentals are presented. And remember that the essential Korban is an Olah. The essential Korban is bringing something, an essential part of the donor, which is then brought and given fully to God. In the archetype, it indeed is fully burnt up on the Mizbeach, and that is modeled after the original Korban Olah, which of course is Akedat Yitzchak. Subsequently, we discussed the possibility that the Mincha is also a form of an Olah, and just that God then gives that food to the Kohanim. Well, we'll see that the exact same thing happens with the Chatat, because the status of a Mincha is Kodesh Kodashim, which means it's treated like an Olah. It all goes up to God, but God gives the grain to the Kohanim, the flour to the Kohanim to eat, except, of course, in the case of Minchat Kohen, as we discussed earlier in this week's series. What happens with the Chatat? For reasons that we'll explore in the final podcast of this series, someone who has done one of the sort of sins that obligates him to bring a Chatat essentially has to bring an Olah. But that phrase itself is problematic. Has to bring an Olah. Because an Olah is presented as an expression or the solution to man's desire to come close to God. And here it's not a desire, here it's an obligation. So the Torah obligates him, as it were, to bring an Olah. But what happens to that Olah? That Olah that's fully offered to God, God then gives some of the food to the Kohanim. And the Kohanim are to eat it, and an odd phrase that shows up in the Gemara, and in the Midrash Halacha, Kohanim ochlim ubalim mitkaprim. That while the Kohanim are eating the meat, that is in effect the kapara, the forgiveness, the atonement that is gained for the donors, for the person who brought the korban. In effect, it's almost as if saying that part of my obligation as someone who has sinned in that particular way is to offer this animal, as it were, representative of meat, to the Mizbeach, and yet to know that part of it is going to be feeding the Kohanim, which is not true about the Olah, which indicates that, in a sense, I have some sort of greater obligation, not just the obligation to bring myself close, but also an obligation of support of the Kohanim, perhaps as a form of charitable contribution, or a form of truma. So now, how does the Torah represent it? Here in Torah HaChatat, not in Vayikra. Because in Torah HaChatat, what we're trying to do is to tell the Kohanim, not Israel, you are being given the food of an Olah. That's not Israel's business. And therefore, they're saying, Bimkom asher tishachet ha'olah tishachet ha'chatat lifnei Adonai. And then told Kodesh Kodashim here, this korban, even though you're going to be eating from it, you have to understand what the function of the eating is. It is not a gift to you. This is a korban which is going fully up to God, and therefore it has to be slaughtered in the same place as an olah and treated the same way it's Kodesh Kodashim. And only then we're told, HaKohen HaMechateota, and I noted the odd phrase, HaMechateota, the Kohen who is effecting the expiation here, Yochalena. because primarily he's the one who's eating it. I noted that there are two presentations of who eats it. In Pasuk Yodet, he eats it. In Pasuk Chafet, we're told all male Kohanim eat it. Because fundamentally, it's the Kohen who is affecting the expiation who is given this as part of the act of kapara. And therefore, b'makom kadosh te'achel b'chatzar al-moed. This is not regular mundane food. This is not a gift to the Kohanim. This is the Kohen acting, as it were, as an extension of the Mizbeach. And then, this chatat has such tremendous severe sanctity, because it's in effect an olah that's been doled out. And so therefore, anything that has contact with it takes on its own aspect. If the blood goes on the beged, it has to be cleansed in a makom kadosh. The kelim have to be cleansed from their contact with chatat, because you have here an odd situation. You have a korban which is like an olah, and yet you're cooking the meat, because the kohanim are going to eat it. So those kelim used to cook the meat now have to be cleansed. And then, pro forma, kol zachar b'kohanim yochal otah, kodesh kodeshim hi. So now we say is that it can be eaten by any of the males of the Kohanim, not just the one who affected the kapara. It can be shared with the other males of the Kohanim, but again, don't forget, it's Kodesh Kodeshim. Then at the end, we're given this unique little piece about particular and very rare chataot, which we refer to in halacha as chataot ha-primiot. V'chochatat ha-sheyuvah midamay al-ohel moed, l'chaper ba-kodesh lo te'achel. Which again is parallel to the minchat kohen, where we're told that if a kohen brings a mincha, then it's not eaten. What's the status here? We're being told that if a chatat, for whatever reason, has this greater severity, so that the only way for the kapara to be affected is to have the blood go inside, which happens for no olah, it is then treated like an olah, but now fully like an olah, in that it is not eaten at all, and rather it is fully burnt up. So what we have essentially is the following. Whereas in Vayikra, where we're looking at it from the perspective of Bnei Yisrael and motivations and obligations, the chatat is treated separately from an olah because the motivation is all different. I'm bringing it not because I want to, but because I have to. But from the perspective of the Kohanim, the chatat is a form of an olah. And therefore, here we're told, it has to be slaughtered in the same place as the olah. Again, not Safon, but where the olah is. Because it's modeled after the olah. It's Kodesh Kodashim. The Kohen who is officiating is, in essence, an extension of the Mizbeach, eating it outside where the Mizbeach is. In the Chatzar HaMoed, in the Azara. The Chatat has this great sanctity, so that contact with it renders anything that has had the contact into something sanctified, something that has to be cleansed, so that it can be used again in a mundane fashion. And then finally we're told that it is possible for a chatat to achieve the status of a full olah. And that is those particular chataot that are brought inside. In the final podcast of this series, we'll explore why particular sins merit the obligation of a chatat, and what it is the chatat is supposed to expiate, and why those particular ones that have the chatat primit have that particular obligation, have the dam be brought inside, and why that would then not be eaten and would be really resemble an olah fully. Okay, we'll pause here. I'll pick it up with the final podcast in the next one on Parshat Tzav. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.